Hello again, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. And we're going to have another program today on the ABCs of the truth of the Word of God. I hope that you've been having a blessed day and that you are drawing nearer to your Lord and obeying Him. And that you are glad and rejoicing to be in the family of God. We should be, shouldn't we? Well, thank you for joining in today. We're going to go back into study number 13, the letter M for missions. I hope that you went over the scriptures that I gave you last recording and read over them, where you read the Great Commission, where the Lord Jesus Christ Himself gave the example during His ministry, the 3.5 years that He ministered before He suffered and was and died and was buried and resurrected and then ascended, but the time that He spent on the earth, He was the example to the church of what the mission was going to be and what the mission that He was going to give the church He had already been doing during the 3.5 years that He was present with His disciples on and starting the church. If you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were talking about Him last week, when we began the introduction, we found out from some scriptures, particularly the John chapter 4, verse 1 said, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized disciples." So we understand that during the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry and His time here, that the disciples, the first individuals that He started the church with, the apostles, He was making and baptizing disciples in front of them. He was already doing that. Okay, and they were watching this thing happen. They were watching what the Lord was doing, and they were observing Him and helping Him while this thing was going on. Okay, and this was before He was crucified. He was training them. Okay, and that brings up the next thing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that Jesus taught and trained His disciples. He did that. He remember when he would be doing these things before and teaching them and pulling them aside and teaching them, and then several times He told them to go ahead of Him and go into these to the children of Israel and go into the cities of the children of Israel and preach and to teach, and then He would send them out and have them do what He had already taught them. And they would go and do it, and then they'd come back and tell Him about it. And He'd send them out in other times and things like that. He was training them. Okay, and then Jesus built His church. He began the church and built it. He started out by choosing them fishermen, and that's when it started. And He individually and specifically chose the ones that He wanted to start the church with. And there were 12 of them. And then as the church began to grow and people began to believe on Him before he was crucified, and it was multiplying and multiplying. And then when He was crucified and He died and was buried and rose again, then the Holy Ghost came. He breathed on them, and the Holy Ghost entered into them. And that's when the church started right there. And at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, gave them the gift of tongues, and they went out and started preaching right there to everybody in the streets during Pentecost. Okay, so we see that, and that the Lord didn't just say, here's the great commandment, here's what I'm telling you, go ahead and do it. But He trained them. He trained them. They already knew when the Lord ascended and He gave commandment for them to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. They knew what He was talking about because they had already been doing it. And now, since He had already died and He had been buried and He resurrected and was present with them in His resurrected body, they believed everything because they seen it with their own eyes and knew it, and they began to write. and that's what we have in front of us. But he also gave that great commandment to Matthew, to Mark, to Luke, to John, and then in the Acts it's written of. Okay, and we say it's, nobody knows who wrote Acts, but some think it's Paul and some think it was Luke. But since Luke wrote his own book, I kind of think it was Paul, but I can't prove that, but it doesn't matter. Somebody wrote it and the Lord put it down for us, so it's truth, right? And that's what we think about it. Okay, so anyway, the Lord had been training these men, and then when he finally got to where he was ascending back to the Father, he gave this commission to them, all of them, and they all wrote it down in their own way, in their own personality, and they began to do what he had commanded them to do, and the church started. Okay, well, we was talking about the biblical basis for missions, and we read over every one of those scriptures yesterday, and you should have those in front of you or somewhere written down there. And we read what the Lord had told them. Now, let's just look at a few questions about before we go into another topic here. And being under the biblical basis for missions as far as our topic right now and seeing what the Bible says, we already know that there is a commission for missions, that the Lord did leave a mission for the church. Okay, but that mission involves lots of things, not just what you call soul winning. Okay, it is to get believers born again, and to baptize them, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus commanded, and the things that he taught them. He didn't just teach them that they needed to believe on him, and that they needed to be baptized, and then that they needed to win other people to the Lord, but also teach them what Jesus had been teaching them. And that's where our New Testament comes in and all the books that Paul wrote, you see. And then Paul comes into the picture and he writes and he gives us the New Testament doctrine, you see. And but all of the Bible is written to us, but all of the Bible is not written for us. Don't let that disappoint you. All of the Bible is God's Word, and it's all inspired. And you can rest in that you can trust all of God's Word. And all of God's Word is very important to us. But rightly dividing the Word of truth, there are some scriptures. And what I meant by that is shouldn't scare you or make you think that you're not going to understand the Word of God. You're going to understand it perfectly. But what I mean by that is some specific places in the scriptures were written specifically to the Jews. Some was written specifically to the Gentiles. And some was written specifically to the church, you see. And when you read in the scriptures, you need to discern these things, and you will. You'll learn how to do that. The Holy Ghost is faithful to teach us. And as we do that, then we start rightly dividing the Word of God, and we know what it says and understand what the Lord means by what he says, the sense of it. So moving right along here, I want to ask a few questions concerning the scriptures that we read before we get really going here. Now, let me just recap a little bit on these scriptures, and let's have a look at this. Now, in Matthew, the Lord said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying..." Now, this is what I want to really get into as far as... I'm just going to probably skip over some of this scripture, and I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read the part where Jesus speaks to these men. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay, now, according to what the Lord said there in Matthew, here's the first question. What is the church to do? The Bible, well, the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, that was 3.5 years of teaching that those guys were following around. So there's a lot more to just being born again, you see, as far as the commandment of the mission that the Lord gave these men to start the church, the New Testament church. So what is the church to do according to Matthew? Well, the church is to go. It's to teach all nations. It's to baptize them, the ones that come into the church and believe on the Lord. Okay, and he give us whose name individually in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. 3 in 1. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. So to teach, to baptize, to go, to teach all nations, there's the commandment according to Matthew. What is the church to do? All right, now in Mark, the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says there, answering that question in Mark, and Mark answered it, what is the church to do? Well, Mark said that we're to go, just like Matthew said, and he said into all the world rather than what Matthew said. He said to teach all nations, which is the same, but they just said it differently. Okay, and Mark says, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And Mark says this, so what is the church to do according to Mark? The same thing. Go and preach and get people to tell the people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and preach him, and those that believe shall be saved. And those that don't believe are going to be damned. Okay? That's the same thing that goes on right now. Now, baptism in that scripture has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation, and we learned that back in the study of immersion. It has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, in other words, in addition to believing, which has nothing to do with your salvation, shall be saved. But look what he says next. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So what is it that damns you? Not believing. It's the believing that doesn't damn you. So he that believeth and is baptized, in other words, after he has believed, then he gets baptized. But the believing's already done and he's already saved. You see, that's the way it's written out there. So Mark says that the church is to go and preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians there, it says that the gospel's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been the same for 2,000 years. Okay, what about Luke? Luke, and the Lord said this. He said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay, and that's what the Lord said there, and Luke recorded that. So what's the question there? What's the church to do? Is to go and preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and preach the gospel, which Mark said, and to teach it and teach all nations and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. You see, when we get all these fellows together and get this whole thing into one thought, they cover everything. They cover everything about the Great Commission, you see. So everything that they have learned from the Lord, every one of them are saying something different, but it's all the same package, you see. Okay, and then John, he said that the Lord says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And that's all John said about it. Okay, and then the Lord breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that's when the Holy Ghost began to indwell men. Okay, so but he said, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So we understand that. Now, in Acts it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So you see, all these things that these men said can be compared and blended together, and it makes one truth that the Lord said about the Great Commission. It involves preaching, it involves going, it involves preaching, it involves teaching, it involves getting people saved and believing on Jesus Christ, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that it was going to begin in Jerusalem, it was going to move out to Judea, it was going to move out to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And guess what? Where'd you get saved? I got saved in Germany. When I was in the military over in Ramstein, Germany, there was a missionary over there that had a military church that he was ministering. Well, how about that? A missionary. His name was Brother Roy Grigsby, and he was pastoring a church over there, a Baptist church, for the military. And all branches of the military went to that church. And that's where the Lord, that's where I met the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought me over to Germany to save me. And, I was saved under a missionary, okay, a pastor that was carrying out a mission in Ramstein, Germany. All right, so here's the questions that we're going to ask under this topic that we're beginning with. The biblical basis for missions. What's the church to do? Well, that's easy. It's to go. The people of the church. Now, a church is what? A church is a local assembly of baptized believers, right? It's like you live in say Pensacola, all right? The people in Pensacola that are born again will gather together, and there were some in Antioch that gathered together. There were some in Ephesus that gathered together. They were all the body of Christ, but they were individual, independent assemblies of baptized believers that all made up the body of Christ. Does that make sense to you? Okay, easy stuff, huh? Okay. So what's the church to do? It is to go, it is to preach, it is to teach, it is to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, to get people saved, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them all things what the Lord commanded in the Word of God. Right? That's what it says. Okay, and here's another question. What is the extent of the mission field? Well, according to the men that we've been reading about the last two lessons, they said in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And then another one said, go ye into all the world. And then another one said that to preach his name among all nations. So what's the extent of the mission field? It's everywhere on land on this planet where there's people, where there are living souls, right? Okay, here's another question. What's the message of the mission work? Well, that's easy, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's easy, isn't it? Okay, so one more question, and then we'll move into our next topic. Where do we get our plan to engage in mission work? Whenever we're going to engage in mission work, and we already know what the message is, we just said that, we know the extent of the mission field, and we know what the church is to do, okay? But where do we get our plan from? We get our plan from the Word of God, don't we? And God the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, that teaches us and guides us and comforts us. Amen. All right, so that's a good beginning. Now, we have been through every one of the books of the Gospel and the Acts, and we have seen, and we've pretty well put this missions, what we're studying, the letter M, we've pretty well put this missions into a category where we can understand it. Now, let's go in and look at some topics, okay? The first one we want to look at is the biblical plan for missions. The biblical plan for missions. I'll begin by reading Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 through 5. Let me read that to you. It says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. All right, there's Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. We're talking about the new topic of the biblical plan for missions. Now, let's answer some questions here. Let's just see what this, the Bible is teaching us, the Word of God is teaching us about the biblical plan for missions. All right. First thing is when the Holy Ghost calls two men to be missionaries, these two men to be missionaries, from whence did he call them? Where did he call them from? Where were they? According to the scriptures. Do you remember? Now, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Okay, so the answer to that question would be what? The church that was at Antioch. It was the local assembly of baptized believers, people that had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, had been baptized, and they were the ones that lived around Antioch, and they gathered together in assembly. They were the church of Antioch, okay? And it says that that's where these certain prophets and teachers, and then it named them Barnabas and Simeon, Saul, and the rest of them. Okay, and the question is when the Holy Ghost called the two men to be missionaries, where did he call them from? Where were they? They were attending the church that was at Antioch, and they were there waiting for the Lord and his instructions, and they were fasting, and they were ministering to the Lord there in that church, right? Okay. All right, we see that. Now, let's ask another question. Now, how would you describe the kind of men God called to be missionaries? Well, the Bible says, what's the Bible say? It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers. Okay, so how would we describe these men? They were prophets, they were preachers. and they were teachers. These men that the Holy Ghost called in the church at Antioch were prophets and teachers already, and they were ministering, and they were fasting and ministering there in the church of Antioch. So the answer to that question is prophets and teachers. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, so we see that they were prophets and teachers that was called to be missionaries. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, now remember, we're talking about the biblical plan for missions. When the Holy Ghost calls somebody, what does he call them for and what's the plan? And who does he call, and what are the men like, and what were they doing when they were called? And we're just studying about the individual calling and how they get called and what they get called to. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, what's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Okay? And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. All right. So who calls and equips men to the mission field or to be missionaries? Who was it that called and equipped these men that we just read about? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then the Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. So, who is it that calls people to the ministry? It's the Lord, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost indwelling you. Remember the first verse we read that the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Remember, the Holy Ghost said it. Well, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ, isn't he? That indwells us, the third person of the Godhead. So, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, so we've seen in that first verse that these men get called by the Holy Ghost. We see who they are, Barnabas and Saul, and that they were there at the church and they were ministering and that they were prophets and teachers. Okay, then we've seen that these men were called and they appreciated it and they understood that they were called and allowed of the Lord to go preach the gospel, to be put in trust with the gospel. Okay, and they thanked the Lord Jesus Christ who enabled them to do this thing. And it says, when they had fasted and prayed, talking about the church at Antioch, they laid their hands on them, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. They sent them away. All right. So, according to that verse, who is to send missionaries when the Holy Ghost calls them? Well, that's easy. We just read that, didn't we? And when they, the church at Antioch, the assembly at Antioch, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, in other words, prayed over them and laid their hands the hands of approval of what the Lord has said, instructed, they sent them away. That's easy. The Bible's easy to understand if you believe it. So, talking about the biblical plan for missions, you see how this is unfolding? It begins at the assembly. The Holy Ghost is the one that develops what He wants to do, and He does it individually and calls who He wants to call to go to be missionaries, to go out and do a specific work with specific people that are specifically called, and the church is the one that supports it and backs it up and prays for them and sends them out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men are thankful that they are enabled and that they are counted worthy being put into the ministry. You see, the Bible plan for missions is for missionaries to be sent out by New Testament churches, prayed for by New Testament churches, and financially supported by New Testament churches. Now, the Word of God neither speaks nor knows anything of mission boards and other mission agencies that fall in between the church and the missionary himself. I got no comment. I know about mission boards and I know about them and how they operate, at least some how they operate, the outline of how they operate and what they're doing. But that's not Bible. The Bible doesn't say anything. We didn't read any of that right there concerning the biblical plan for missions. We didn't read anything in there about the church getting a hold of the mission board and the mission board approving the guys to go out and do what the Lord had already commanded and instructed. They were called in the church, called out of the church, told what to do in the church. They were already serving in the church, and who prayed for them, laid hands on them, and sent them? The church. So the Bible doesn't speak anywhere about these things, about mission boards, and that's all I'll say about that, and that's all really needs to be said. ABCs. Okay? And if I'm not commending or condemning, because I'm not smart enough about that, and that's out of my measure. So, but as far as what the Bible says, the Bible doesn't speak of that. Okay? So let's move on. The biblical plan for missions. You see this unfolding and how the Lord trained these men, gave the instructions of the Great Commission, and then the Holy Ghost came in and called men in the church and from the church that were already there serving, prophets and teachers, men that were experienced and had been trained by the Lord Himself, and by other men that had been trained by Him. And He calls them, and they pray, and they fast, and they seek this thing out, and they're thankful about being called to the ministry. There was no talk of how much money was going to be paid to them. Did you get that? I didn't hear anything about no wages or how much you're going to pay me or who's going to do this, blah, 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 blah. They just was interested and thankful that the Lord enabled them, counting them worthy and faithful to be put in the ministry. You see the difference in the heart attitude? Okay. Now the Lord, anytime the Lord calls a man or a person to the ministry, the Lord very faithfully and abundantly and having all sufficiency in all things, when people are truly trusting the Lord to go on a work that the Lord's called them to, He takes care of everything. I can say that personally. The ministry I was in up in Pennsylvania, running a troubled men's camp up there, and teaching every day and preaching and going to these churches and updating the ministry and helping these men was a one-year program. And I can tell you as a testimony in front of the Lord and anybody that's listening to my voice right now that the Lord Jesus Christ took care of every single need of everything. And He literally showed me and taught me all sufficiency in all things. He does what He says He'll do. He really, really does. And, you know, all we had to do to keep it straight was honor Him and honor His Word. and teach those men what the Lord said, and then God the Holy Ghost changed those men. It's tremendous. Another question that we want to look at here concerning the biblical plan for missions. Now, this thing is just unfolding right in front of us here. There, we've been doing nothing but reading Scripture, and we're watching the church that has been formed by the Lord Jesus Christ. When He ascended, all the men wrote about the Great Commission that the Lord had told them about. And then the church is together, and the Holy Ghost calls, and they begin the mission plan, you see, and it starts. And but in Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost," it don't get any simpler than that, does it? "Departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Okay, now according to that verse right there, when a church sends out a missionary, how is that missionary led into his work? "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus." Who was guiding this thing? When the church sent them out, prayed for them, laid their hands on them, and approved of this thing, that it was indeed of the Lord, sent them out by their blessing, how were the missionaries led into their work? God the Holy Ghost led them, didn't He? That's right. Okay, in Acts chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John," which is John Mark, who wrote your book of Mark, "John," they had John to their minister. In other words, he was tagging along with them, and he was helping them with their needs as they were going into the synagogues and preaching the word of God. And he was helping them. So according to that, what is the missionary to do according to Acts chapter 13, verse 5, like what we just said? Well, we said that a long time ago. "And when they were at Salamis," that's where they was headed, "they preached the word of God." They preached the word of God. And what were they preaching? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and teaching them all things whatsoever the Lord commanded them. All right, in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in the church," okay, these missionaries are at Salamis. They have just arrived there, and they arrived there from Cyprus because they sailed to Cyprus from Seleucia, remember? And from before that, they were fasted and prayed for by the church at Antioch that laid their hands on them and sent them away. And before that, they were called by the Holy Ghost. And before that, they were in the church at Antioch, and they were serving there as prophets and teachers, but they were serving there at Antioch in the church. You see how it just unfolded right there? Okay, but let's go all the way back to where they arrived in Salamis. They sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues and the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, they're preaching, and people are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in this new place where the Holy Ghost has called them to go preach the word of God, and what happens? All right, well, people start getting saved and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Ghost is indwelling them now. They are born-again Christians, just like we are. And guess what happens? In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, I'll read it again. "And when they had ordained," well, I didn't read it, did I? "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So what does that mean? Well, that means they were preaching in the synagogues, and people were believing on what they was preaching. They were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were repenting, and their sins were being remitted and taken away, and the Lord Jesus Christ had forgiven their sins and taken them away. Not just forgiven them, but taken them away. And now they were in the body of Christ in the church. And what did the missionaries, what were they instructed to do by the Holy Ghost then? Well, when they had ordained them elders in the church, in other words, they set up a church there where they were. They set up a church just like they set up a church in Antioch where they were serving before. Now there's a new place. This is where the Holy Ghost led them. They went and preached there. People got saved. And now they set a local assembly up there. Did you see that? Easy. The Lord taught them well, didn't he? And when they had ordained them elders, in other words, put people in charge there, in every church, apparently there was more than one that they set up, and had prayed with fasting, prayed with them and fasted with them, they commended them to the Lord. In other words, they turned the authority over to the elders in that local church, and they commended them to the Lord. In other words, okay, you're responsible to the Lord now for this assembly, and on whom they believed. So the biblical plan for missions, there it is in a nutshell. We started out with the Lord Jesus Christ being here. He came to sacrifice himself for the sins of men, for the whole world. He did what he came here for, proclaimed it finished, died, was buried, resurrected, went and let people see him, talked with them, gave them the Great Commission, and ascended. And then the churches began to assemble, and people were getting saved, and the churches, the Holy Ghost called out missionaries for specific missions from the assemblies that were already gathering together. Pretty simple, huh? And when they went out, they went to the place where the Lord called them, because the Lord knows everything in the hearts of men. There were some people that he knew that wanted to receive, that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ over there where he sent the missionaries. They went over there and preached in the synagogues. People got saved, and they ordained elders and set up the churches in other places. And that's the biblical plan for missions. Every church should support two pastors, one for the thousands at home and the other for the millions abroad. Jacob Chamberlain. And there was one other thing I wanted to, that was said from somebody, I don't know, an anonymous. He said the only one among the 12 apostles who did not become a missionary became a traitor. So we're going to stop right there. I hope, I know you're not confused. This is just so, there's no confusion in this at all. Whenever we're reading God's Word and not trying to manipulate it, and not trying to make it sound like to be what we want it to be, and we just read it for what it is and what the Lord said, the Holy Ghost lays it out for us and makes it pretty simple, doesn't he? So do you understand now the beginning of this? Do you understand the biblical basis for missions now? Yes, you do. Do you understand the biblical plan for missions? Yes. It's like we've been in a theater. We've been reading the Word of God for the last hour, and even on the last program, and we've watched this entire thing unfold from the Scriptures. And it's the same thing, unless, of course, some men that want it to be the way they want it to be and change it. But if you leave it like the Word of God says, which some people have today that are obeying the Word of God, then the same exact thing is going on today. The biblical plan for missions. The next thing that we'll talk about is the biblical challenge for missions, and on into the biblical way to support missions, and talk about that some more, okay? So, praise the Lord. I'm glad that we complete, I just love the way that the Holy Ghost does this thing. When he calls us, even doing these studies together, when the Lord sets it all up, and the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And it's completely understandable. It's ABCs of Christian growth. It's elementary, but it's just as rich as it can be, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord. We've learned some things today concerning missions, and it's broadened us in our belief in the Lord and encouraged us and helped us to see in the Scriptures. Now, what we know about missions right now, we know it to be true, and we can believe it from now on because we have seen it in the Scriptures and understand it from the Scriptures, right? Right. Okay. Well, the Lord be with you, and I hope you sleep well tonight. And let's serve our Lord because we want to and not because we have to. Bye-bye.